Welcome to the In Conversation with Expo Stars podcast. I am Lee Ali, founder and MD of Expo Stars Interactive, an award-winning global live marketing and exhibition engagement agency. This is a podcast about leading the way in the live marketing industry and in business. In every episode, we speak to people around the world who do absolutely amazing work. You'll find an eclectic mix of stories and valuable insights on audience engagement, sales and marketing, mindset and well-being, business growth, and much more. We've been active in the live marketing industry for well over a decade now, and over that time, we've been very fortunate and privileged to have met and worked with a diverse range of inspiring business people. We ask them thought-provoking questions and share with you their valuable insights. We want to inspire you to transform your live marketing, engage your audience, grow your business, and enjoy the process. Happy listening. Thanks very much for joining us on our very first podcast. It's been a long time in the making. We've been running Expo Stars for the past 13 years, and we've been very busy. We've been fortunate enough to be very busy with events, and we've never really had a chance to look at podcasting, but here we are, better than late than never. So the idea of In Conversation with Expo Stars is to provide insights into the world of exhibitions, into the world of business and mindset communication, everything that really you need to succeed in the world of exhibitions. Today, joining me, I'm delighted to welcome one of our very first Expo Stars who to this day is still working with us on projects. And I'd like to welcome Gemlyn. Gemlyn joined us back in 2009. I think it was 2008, actually. She did her first event at the World Travel Market in London. And then she's worked well over 100 projects for us over these past few years. She's also budding business lady. She appeared on the TV program The Apprentice, and she's a full-time working mom. And what more can I say? Hello, Gemlyn.
Hello. Thank you so much, Lee, for that lovely introduction, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. The pleasure is ours. If I could actually have, what I was hoping when I set this podcast up was I wanted to invite someone who has actually worked with us from the very beginning and who actually understands the concept of what being an Expo Star is. So tell us a bit more about, you know, the journey that you've had with us, what it means for you to be an Expo Star, and you know, what kind of events you've actually worked at. And, you know, it really gives a flavor of the kind of things that you actually have been able to get out of being an Expo Star.
Great. Oh, wow. What did I start? It's been an amazing journey. Obviously, working, being an Expo Star is taking me to different countries. I've worked with some incredible companies. I've learned so much in the world of business. And it's just been really exciting. One of the things that always caught my attention with this company, that it sets the tone and it sets themselves apart from the typical, you know, promotional company and things like that. It's just different. I like the way that we are utilized as, you know, when we go to an event and we're not just a pretty face, we actually, you know, get to know the company. We work within the company. We are part of the team. You know, we get to use our brains, not just our beauty, but actually our brains, and we get to talk to people. So it's been an absolutely honor for me to be part of this this incredible company, because, you know, we actually set the tone for the industry, and I'm hoping somehow, you know, it's just the way forward. I think having a promotional person, an outside person for your company, for your event, just looking pretty, it's just not the way forward. You know, I think if you can have that extra set of hands and that extra mouth, then it's for you to create leads and generate leads. And that's something that I really, truly respect.
Great stuff. So we remember working for the first time. I think when we met for the first time, you were an actress, I think it was, or a model. And we met, I think it was Houston, right? At the
yes.
prayer monge. I remember that day.
Yes.
So, very soon afterwards, you ended up working at the World Travel Market. And I always remember the opportunity that we had. And I think it was yourself and Nicola who worked for, what was the chap's name? Was he called Eduardo?
Eduardo, the owner of the company, yeah.
Owner of the company. We were giving away vouchers, for travel vouchers, right? So tell us, I mean, obviously that was a very small booth and it was really get to know you and your personality. And I think you did a fantastic job and we stayed in touch with the customer and he was quite pleased. But unfortunately, obviously, we found out recently that he died, which is quite sad. But so tell us what, I mean, tell us some of the best events that you've actually worked at and what they meant for you. Has there been any events that stood out for you over the last 13 years or any particular clients that you really enjoyed working with?
I think that there's always going to be my favorites, right, to work with. And the thing that we like the most around this company is that recurring booking. So I got to work with loads of companies for loads and loads of times. And some of the companies used to fly me, you know, to wherever the exhibition was going, which is, you know, something also is really brilliant. That first event, though, I still remember it, if it was yesterday. I was doing modeling and I was also working as a beauty therapist full time. And I remember somebody telling me, oh, but you're really chatty. You should go into the world of events. And that's when I saw your casting call. And I was like, oh, this sounds perfect, because I never felt as a model, even if I was doing modeling, I never saw myself as a model. So promotional modeling wasn't really something that I wanted to do. I wanted to actually, you know, talk and work in events. And I was looking for like PA, marketing, things like that. And your casting call came up and then I went to meet you. And just the way you conducted yourself, the things that you were saying, I was like, oh my God, this is like perfect. This is exactly what I'm looking for. And I remember working in the World Travel Market. And one of my passions is traveling, of course. So it was very exciting. It just felt really, it's a different feeling. I also did promotional modeling, but it's a different feeling. They welcome you as part of the team, first of all. They see your value. And that's when it kind of sort of fitted. And I thought, wow, I can just do this full time, which I ended up doing. I ended up working on events full time. And I did a lot of events for you. World Travel Market is always going to be my favorite. It's just amazing to meet so many people from so many countries. Everybody's happy. There is a party in every booth, which I love. I get to see my country, sort of a little piece of my country, which is Venezuela. And I remember Sky Blue Travel. They were amazing. They've always, you know, brought me in. I can't believe I still haven't been to Egypt. I need to go and visit them because they were literally just, I was just part of their family. So that was a really cool client, really, really cool client to work with.
Fantastic. So obviously you work with a lot of different clients and every event is different. Tell us about how you actually prepare for each event mentally. How do you tune in, you know, because obviously you have to meet people for the very first time and very quickly within like 1 hour, you have to get yourself ready and in tune and in vibe with the team on the booth. So how do you cope with that change, you know, every week that you're doing an event, because it's a different person, different industry, different environment altogether. So what's your mental process of just saying, right, I'm going to tune in and I'm going to do my best for this client?
So pre-event, I always make sure that I actually learn about the company. And that's for me is a must. It's what's made me successful within the industry, because these companies, no matter how big or small, they are spending money to be there, you know? So they actually, they're spending some companies, small startups, they spend, you know, something smaller, but still they are paying to be there. So I think the best thing as somebody coming that they are contracted, it's to know the company, to know the history. You don't have to know everything, but, you know, just the key points. Obviously, ExpoStars has always been brilliant at sending a brief about the company, the key points, sometimes even a script. what the company is looking to achieve in that event. You know, they might be looking for sales, or they might be looking for leads, or they might be looking for, you know, for signups, or they might be looking. So just get to know the company. And obviously, as a staff, you're always like a chameleon. I've always felt like I'm always going to match their energy. So if you turn up into a booth where everybody's super happy, then you'd be super happy. If you turn up to a booth where everybody's really serious, then you'd be serious. I always believe that, you know, as a staff, you coming from the outside, it's kind of like, you know, you need to adapt. Yeah. To match the energy. And with those two things, so you match the energy, you work yourself and you actually productively, actively working and knowing what you're talking about, which makes it a lot more fun. Those three key things are so key for anyone to have a successful event.
Okay, fantastic. One of the big things in exhibitions is always obviously being proactive at the booth and taking a step out and talking to the attendees. And a lot of people don't like doing it, but you really enjoy that process. And one of the things that people have a problem with is that constant rejection of people not wanting to talk to you. So tell us about how you actually deal with people saying, no, I don't want to talk to you. And then
I know.
What's that mindset? How do you actually cope with that? And what advice can you give people who work at exhibition booths to actually not feel rejected?
Well, rejection is going to be there all the time. Okay. So you just have to come just basically adapt yourself, or just think that, you know, you are going to get people that are busy. You're going to get people that are not looking to talk to anybody. You're going to get people that, you know, that are looking to listen to you. So I always say, just prepare yourself mentally. And I always have this thought, always had this thought that the more no's I get closer to a yes. Yeah. So I would get actually excited when somebody would be like, no, no, no. I'd be like, oh, that's one more. That means, I always used to say, between 8 and 9 no's brings a yes. So right, then I'll, in my head, I'll count it and I'll be like, oh my God, that's my 7th no. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So that means I'm coming closer to a yes. Practice. It's practice. It takes practice. It stinks at the beginning. You're like, what? and then as you do and progress and do more events and do more events, then you become accustomed, and then suddenly you're just happy to get no's. And then your approach changes everything as well. I think this is why I love the psychology, the treasure psychology from Expo Stars, because your body language, the way you come across, everything that you say, everything plays a part, you know? And again, if you match people's energy, if somebody's walking past, really quiet, looking into the phone, you know, your approach might be a little bit more softer. You know, are you looking, can I help you with anything? Are you looking for a booth? Maybe I can, you know, give you some guidance. And that can start a conversation. It doesn't always have to be, you know, sales or lead generation. It's about connecting with someone, starting a conversation, asking them questions to qualify them. And then you don't waste your time speaking to 100 people. And someone might walk past and then they're looking, staring in the booth. They're the best ones, because then that is a permission for me to talk to them. And then there might be somebody that is really rushing. And you can tell that person is not going to stop. They're literally walking really fast. So all you can do is create a connection, say, hey, I hope you get really fast to where you want to go. Or, you know, just create something that it makes them look at you and see you and notice you. So then, because it happens, if you're in an event for 3-4 days or even 2 days, they will walk around. And eventually that fast pace, once they get to where they need to go, they're going to walk around again and they're going to see you. Yeah. And you've created that impression already. They're going to want to talk to you.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's great. And I think the other thing is managing that energy level. Obviously, you're on your feet 8 or 9 hours a day, and having that enthusiasm, same enthusiasm as you have at 9 o'clock at 5 p.m. How do you actually keep your energy up?
Just keep things exciting. I think, again, it's a mindset. Events can be tedious, very tedious, because you repeat yourself over and over and over. It can be really tiring. And I love to wear heels because I'm a midget. So, I mean, it is part of the job to wear, you know, sometimes not, but majority. So you're on heels, you're on long hours. And again, it's a mindset thing to, I could actually spend the day moaning inside my head, and that's going to affect my energy. Or I can spend the day having fun, getting to know people, talking to people. Not, like I said, not everything is a transaction. You actually meet some really interesting people in events, you know, because it's kind of like everybody comes into this one place. So my aim is always to talk to as many people as possible, get to know them genuinely, and the day flies. For me, the day just goes really, really fast. And you achieve two things. You get yourself entertained, and you also manage to create more leads, which is the main thing, for having a show. So if you have the mindset that you're going to have loads of fun, you're going to get to know a lot of people, you're going to get to talk to a lot of people, then that way your energy is going to always be up. And obviously keep hydrated, eat food, you know, these things. I always have a different diet when I'm doing events. So I tend to eat carbohydrates, for example. I don't eat carbohydrates normally. Like my daily day-to-day is very, I don't have much carbohydrates. But on event days, I know I need that energy, and carbohydrates give me that energy. And things like, not much, but things like sugar, like maybe like a little, Sprite or something like that, just to give you that extra boost on the booth.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's always about the energy, isn't it? Because at the end, if you don't eat right and you don't drink enough water, and then obviously that's going to affect your mood as well, okay? And then the last thing you want to do is be a bit cranky when you're actually talking to people, feel that hunger, because your energy around you is going to be affected as well. Because if you're thirsty or hungry, you're not going to smile, and then you're going to go, oh, I'm tired. I can't do this anymore.
Yes.
And how
exactly.
many times?
So I think it's important.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And how many times? I mean, obviously you've worked at hundreds of events. I've walked, hundreds of miles on exhibition floors. And how many people have we seen with their arms folded who don't want to be there? And, do you really want to talk to those people? Yes.
No, absolutely no.
Yeah. Obviously, the exhibition world has been impacted massively with COVID. I think you did the last event in the UK with us, which was the International Confex last year.
Yes.
We've not had an event in the UK since then. Obviously, we've... So how have you coped with the lockdowns and with not having event work? And how's the mental process been for you? And how have you actually coped with it?
I mean, it's tough. It's been, I think for a lot of people out there, it's been, crazy times. I never thought in a million years this will happen. And I remember March last year when this all happened and everything started to shut down. And I normally work in Wimbledon. I've done Wimbledon now for about 9 years.
Right.
And I remember when that cancelled, that's when I thought, wow, this is serious, because there's never been a Wimbledon cancelled since the World War II. So that's when I thought, wow, this is crazy. So it's been tough in many ways, but it's also been for me, I run an online business. So obviously that's booming. It's helped me to focus in that area, because obviously when I was doing events and things like that, I wasn't 100% focusing. So it's allowed me to focus on that one business for the time being. I actually opened up a beauty salon as well in the middle of the pandemic, which is, I don't know why I was thinking, but I miss it. I've been working online. I've been running my online business now for 3 years, and I could have stopped doing events because I was making enough to be okay. But I don't do events because of the money. I actually love doing events. I love talking to people, getting to know people. This is my thing. So I really, really miss that aspect of getting to know somebody or being in a trade show. A majority of people are flying from all over the world. So I'm setting aside the cranky ones. There's loads of people that are really happy. They're excited. London is an amazing city to be in. So I really, 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 I think events is something that I'm always going to do for that factor. It's not even the payment or anything like that. It's just a factor. And obviously ExpoStars works with one of the most incredible clients. I think you guys have such a good energy that I think it attracts that energy. So I actually miss, you know, all the, like, the companies and everybody that you work with, my buddies, obviously all the fellas, Expo stars, which we've become really good friends. It's like a little family. So really, really miss everyone for sure.
Oh dear. Okay. Yeah. I mean, likewise, it's not the same without the day-to-day running around and, you know, planning ahead for events and all of that. So it's, but I'm very confident, obviously, that they will come back. We've seen the vaccine coming in now. And I think quarter 3, quarter 4, we will start gradually to see, and we can't see, obviously, wait to see you back at the, back at the trade show booths, of course. So, so obviously, we've not actually caught up and we've not talked about it a lot, actually, but obviously you were in The Apprentice.
Yes.
You know, I've become famous. Okay. So I'm still waiting for that autograph, by the way. So tell us a bit more about that experience. What was it actually like in the house and, you know, doing those exercises? I know I've seen you give a couple of interviews, but it must have been quite an amazing experience for you.
It was. 75,000 people actually apply every year plus. So yeah. It is, you do feel very special to be chosen to be one of the 16 candidates. And it was so surreal for me. It was just kind of like, is this really happening? Actually, when I went in there, coming from somebody I've worked in events for so many years, but I've never actually, I don't have a degree in business and never worked in any corporate job. But funny enough, I did, because every event that I did was for a corporate company. So I kind of managed to relate a little bit, but it was crazy. It was just finding out. I remember I found out when I was in Philippines, actually. I had to fly back in early, and it got leaked into the papers, and just seeing myself, I was in the, what was it? I think it was the Daily Star. No, not the Daily Star. The Sun paper. I was in the front page.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on? What's happening? I had people stopping me on the street. So it was really, really, really crazy. And then we got to the house. Everything is done then and there. So they don't really, you know, mess around. I remember getting to the first boardroom and we was in this really dark and I could hear other people. And I was like, oh my God, this is so crazy. And then you get into the boardroom and then 24 hours later, we on the plane to South Africa. It is the only apprentice and the first apprentice that's ever gone that far. They normally go to like Malta or Spain or something. I've never been to like as far as South Africa. So I kept pinching myself. I kept thinking, wow, this is crazy. But it was an amazing experience. I'm very grateful that I did it. A lot of things came from it. Living in the house was intense. You barely sleep. You missing your family, you with 15 other strangers. You know, they're your competition as well. So you don't know who's got your back. You don't know who wants to stab you behind your back. But again, I think my event background and dealing with so many strangers for over the past 13 years, it helped me a lot to just kind of like get to know everybody and we became a family really, really fast.
Yeah. I was waiting for, because every year on The Apprentice, they always do an exhibition-based
task. I know.
And it never came. And I thought, well,
I know.
Gemeline's going to absolutely, okay, if she doesn't do well on the exhibition or event one, but it never came. So I was really shocked.
I know.
So,
they never did it. Yeah.
So
I was waiting for that one too.
Well, I mean, for budding entrepreneurs who actually want to work with Sir Alan Sugar, or Lord Sugar, I should say right now, what advice would you actually give them in terms of getting them prepared to actually go through that experience? Because obviously, not only does your experience and your life change for those 12 weeks that you're in the program, but afterwards it has a massive impact as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, definitely. You get noticed. So obviously I've got a really a so-called inspiring story. You know, I came from Venezuela with nothing. didn't even speak English. I think I had a bit of a broken English when, not as it is now, when I first met you. Yeah. It was okay, but it wasn't amazing. Yeah. So you definitely do get noticed. Your business gets noticed more. Exposure is amazing. We were the first apprentice that broke all the rules. We're not meant to meet because basically when the show is on, you're not meant to meet each other. We're not meant to be photographed with each other. We're not meant to, because they want people to think or have the experience as if it's happening as it is, even though it's pre-recorded and everybody knows it. But they just want to give to people. We went to so many events. we were seeing like movie premieres, events, like, it was incredible. So we thought, you know what, this is a one in a lifetime experience. And, you know, they did tell us we shouldn't have done that, but we still did it. I think it was the most rebellious 15 candidates they ever had. They said it themselves. Yeah. And that part of it was incredible, was absolutely amazing. Becoming an inspiration for some, you know, young people, young entrepreneurs, people that could be in the same position as me. You know, I didn't go to grad school. I didn't go to business school. And, you know, I was at one point, I was so broke. I was in so much debt. I even was homeless at one point when I was in this country. I started from cleaning toilets and cleaning, you know, places because I didn't speak the language to where I am now. So I think that's one of the biggest takeaway from me going on to The Apprentice, becoming an inspiration for people. They are in that situation at the moment. They might not have all the resources, but, you know, seeing me, okay, well, if she could become something of herself from nothing, then I can too. And I believe, I'm a massive believer that you can. It's a lot harder. It's a lot more work. Yeah. You need to be a lot more resilient. You need to be a little bit more, you know, obsessed, but it can happen. So I think that was like the biggest change in my life becoming. So now I'm in the process of writing a book. I'm going to start a podcast. Hopefully one day I can speak in front of, you know, loads of people. I started doing a lot of motivational speaking, which is my passion, going to universities. Yeah. So it's going towards that direction because, you know, I just want to share that light with people and be like, look, you could be right now in debt, nowhere, no resources, but you can get yourself out of that. And I did it, so you can too.
Yeah. Let's talk about that resilience. For me, it's always very important, especially during these tough times. We have the pandemic. We have a lot of political situations around the world. And one of the things I've always admired about you is that you've overcome a lot of challenges in your life. Okay. I remember a story. It was a while ago, actually, where you had a situation, I think, where you went back to Venezuela and you got held up at gunpoint at the airport. And that at best of time, that is a nightmare experience. But to have a, you know, robbery at gunpoint as soon as you land in your country, you know, for somebody to come back from that and keep smiling, I think that's great. And then another situation that you had, I think you got stuck in Vienna on a job where they took away your passport because your visa had actually run out. And then obviously you had this thing before The Apprentice where you had another situation where you got involved in a nightclub altercation or something like that. And you've had so many knockbacks, but you always come back fighting and you always come back with a smile on your face. How do you, what's your mindset in terms of overcoming these challenges? I mean, these are life-changing events for anyone, okay? But for you to actually come back and get to where you are right now, how do you actually, how have you built up that resilience?
Well, going through it. There is no shortcut for resilience. I feel like, you know, the more you get hit, the more you become stronger and the more you get back up. Don't get me wrong, I did suffer depression. I had massive, massive depression for, this is about 3-4 years ago. You know, I felt like my life wasn't going anywhere. I kept getting all these horrible things happening to me. Like, yeah, getting robbed at gunpoint in my country. Literally, they took away everything. They took away my passport, our money. We were left stranded in the middle of the street with nothing. But then at a later stage, we realized that there was a model like operandi of the robbers, that they used to actually wait for you to get on the car. They used to wait for you to drive. Then they will shoot everybody in the car, take the bodies out and take the car with the bags. Yeah. So they robbed the cars and the bag. And we didn't. And for me, finding out that I could have died, but I didn't, I was grateful. I was grateful that I spent time with my mom. It's just looking into every situation that happens to you and realizing that it's always something positive, you know, that it's always something positive that's going to come out of it. And it sounds horrible because, you know, you could go through some horrific stuff, but there is always going to be a positive outcome at the end of the day. You're either going to become stronger, you're going to become more resilient, you're going to build a harder, you know, skin. Then I got stuck in Vienna. I lost my passport, in fact. I lost it. I don't know if it's somebody took it or I don't know what happened. I couldn't find my passport anywhere. And I was Venezuelan. I'm a British citizen now, thank God. But I was Venezuelan. I had my Venezuelan passport there. So I couldn't come back into the country. So I had to go through loads of paperwork. And I was stuck there for 3 weeks. So it was a long time and it was tough. It was hard. It's a country I didn't know anybody. It was minus 14 degrees outside. So it was crazy cold. And then I was hit by a guy. I said no to give my number. So I'm outside. I wasn't even drunk outside Soho, one of the clubs in Soho. And I was looking down when my Uber was coming, then the Uber canceled. And then I was booking the next Uber and this guy came and he's like, oh, can I give you my number? I said no, like three times. Just leave me alone. I didn't even look up. And then my friend, which was next to me, pushed him because he came really close. He came back and punched me and knocked me out. And that was tough. That was really hard. I was like, come on, guy. Come on, God. Like, can this get anywhere? Like, please. So, but then again, that was one of the reasons I had high depression. After this, hit me hard. And I just felt like I just don't want to be here anymore. I was tired and depressed, anxiety, panic attacks. And that's when I opened my laptop and I remember seeing the Apprentice auditions. That was in October 2018. And the auditions were in January 2019. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to apply. I mean, it's the worst that can happen. They can say no. So, and then I apply and then I go on the show. So again, if all of those things wouldn't happen, I wouldn't be thinking of doing something to really change my life, you know? And for everything that happens to you that is bad, there is always going to be a positive outcome. And that's the way you have to think.
Absolutely, yeah. I totally agree. My philosophy has always been that everything happens for a positive reason, okay? And sometimes it may not be obvious what that is, but the universe has always found a way to actually show you, okay, why that was actually a positive. And it's happened to me so many times as well in terms of where I've actually had a tough situation. And, you know, I've learned valuable lessons from it. And eventually I've actually, you know, overcome whatever situation I was actually in and move forward. And I think that's the only thing that you can do. And a lot of people will be facing a lot of challenges. I mean, we as a business are facing a massive challenge because our livelihood and your livelihood, Gemmeline, depends on the number of bookings that we have, and we're dependent on so many people, and so many people are dependent on us as well. So and I think it's getting for somebody to have that resilience. I think there is one thing I always say is that there is always help, okay, from other people. There is mentors that you can have. There is people that you can actually talk to have that resilience. Is there anyone in your life that really stood out as an inspiration? I know that you're quite close to your mom. Is there anyone out there that really stands out for you in terms of helping you to overcome these challenges, somebody that you can always go and talk to?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, you always need to, ask for help. And that's something that a lot of people don't do because they don't want to, you know, bother other people. They think, okay, well, why am I going to bother you with my problems when, you know, but I'm very lucky. I've got really good circle of really good friends. They always bring me up. We all have each other back and we all kind of going through this together in a way, you know, if you have a really low day, I'm always going to message them. It's just four girlfriends, all from a different walk of life, all different ages, business, also business-minded like myself. And you just got to speak up. You know, I think speaking up is so crucial. I think it's something we need to make more a habit of, you know, talking to your friends, to your family, to people that love you, people that care for you. And, you know, they will probably appreciate the fact that you are confiding in them to bring them into your life, your darkest moments, mm-hmm. for them to help you be part of that. And I think that's something that as a society, we need to learn to speak up more. And I utilize social media a lot to do this, to speak up. You know, if I'm having a bad day, I think that's something that we need to also drive through that direction where we can use your social media to be real. And I'm you know, be real. You might have a bad day. I have a bad day and I, you know, I get so much support from people. Genuine people wanted to speak to me, to check on me and vice versa. So I think it's something that we need to definitely that, you know, take on that direction. And my mom, my mom is my guru. She's just, she's the one that gave me the mentality that I have, you know, and the way, the resilience I've seen in her and the things that she's overcome, the things that she's done and how she just gets up. And it's not about getting up. She gets up and she's ready to go for it again. You know, she's ready to with a smile on her face. And I think that's one of my biggest inspiration for sure.
Fantastic. Okay. And tell us a bit more about your new business. I've seen the progress that you've made over the last 3 to 4 years from being a brilliant network marketer to being a CEO of Anti-Aging Doctors. So tell us a bit more how that journey came about and what you're hoping to achieve and what you actually do in the business.
Amazing. Yeah. So I started network marketing 3 years ago. I actually started it because obviously with events, you know how it is. It's very, luckily with you guys, I was always busy, always had really good events, but there'll be a spree of, you know, a month or two that there was nothing, you know, and there's nothing we can do. It was becoming tougher and tougher in the events industry. I saw with other companies, though, the payment went really low. The hours got longer, you know, the quality, there was so many. One of the things I'm very excited about the pandemic is that it's getting rid of all of those really, really crappy agencies that just don't deserve to be in the industry because they're not great, you know, they're using people. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I need something to supplement my income. I need something to help me get by. And I'm fully independent. I've got a family. I've got son to feed. So obviously I was in some months I'd be really busy with events and then in the next 2 months I'd be dead. And I'd be like, oh my God, how am I going to pay my rent now? How am I going to pay my bills? And London is very expensive.
Of course.
So so I looked into the business as a customer. I didn't really like the business. I had the typical mentality, it's a pyramid scheme, it's a scam, da da da. But I tried the products. I was coming from a beauty background. I was actually temping in different salons at the time because that's how I could actually add a bit more money to my income. But again, I felt like I was a drifter. You know, one day I'd be working in the most prestigious event and then the next day I'd be like temping from like a salon, you know, in like central London, like not getting treated really well because it's temp, you know, you're an outsider all the time. So I started this as a customer. I used the products. It cleared my acne within 2 weeks. I had hormonal depression, acne, stress related. I've been trying to get rid of it for 8 years. Nothing worked. And this happened 2 weeks later. I'm still waiting for it. It never came back. I noticed the products were amazing. And then I started seeing the person that introduced me to the business, to the products, started seeing her buying a Range Rover, and she bought her own home. And she used to do what I did, you know, events. And I was like, wow, that's great. Is this with this business? And then she's like, yeah, this is all I do. So it got my attention. I started it 3 years ago. 3 years on, we managed to set up an anti-aging clinic, which obviously, unfortunately, we had to close down because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll take it up again. Open up a beauty salon as well. Just got my new home. One of the biggest thing about this industry and this business is obviously it's online. So no pandemic, no natural disasters. That is actually, we actually grow during the situation because we offer a solution. You know, I've helped a lot of mommies that are at home. They're actually very career orientated, but they don't want to leave the kids. They don't want to pay for, you know, daycare can be really expensive. And one of the things that I really, really loved about this industry and this, and mainly this company, is that the earning, it's uncapped. You can earn, there is no a limit on what you can make, you know? You could actually earn a lot of money, and it's in my power. And I'm very money driven. So I definitely make sure that I became a professional within the industry. I've got now a team of over 200 distributors around the world. I run my business from my laptop. For me, it's helping other people, you know, giving that solution. A lot of people lost their job during the pandemic. So I am offering a solution. We do free mentoring, which is amazing. And I think it's something that everybody should look into it. You know, it's even if I got a lot of people that already work full time, but they've built these for them because you just never know. You can't rely mainly now. You can't rely on just one paycheck because that's dangerous. Yeah. You need to have different sources of income. And this is something that we offer. And of course, since the pandemic, I lost all my event work. I just, you know, I managed to get my new home fully refurbished there, and even open a beauty salon. So all of these things you can't do, it's on your hands. A lot of people are more open to it. I remember before when I used to introduce the business to some people, they'd be like, oh, it's one of those things. No. Where now they're like, tell me more, because it is a solution to their problems. You know, it could, you know, put a plate of food in someone's house, and it's all done online. So it's just a no-brainer. And at the moment, I'm extremely busy, which is great because, you know, it's we're helping a lot of people to create their own time, freedom, and financial stability.
Fantastic. I think that's the way, isn't it, in terms of moving forward, is if somebody is working in a full-time job and they're not feeling happy and they want to get control of their lives, then it's either set up your own business or go into a proven business that actually helps and be part of a really good community around you as well. I think that's great. And I think I've been fortunate enough with Expo Stars is building such a big network of freelance professionals. And on the other side, I have my clients who are all inspirational, who are great, amazing people. And then I also work with a lot of freelance contractors like yourself who really are, again, I mean, some of the people are so inspirational, and obviously we'll be sharing some of those interviews or getting to interview those people. And I think that's what keeps you going, really, is being involved in such a really good environment around a really good network of people, and that makes you feel really successful.
100%. And for me, it was the fact that I didn't have to set up I've got a beauty salon. To set up an actual business takes a lot of money, a lot of money. So, you know, this sort of business model, you need very little investment, but the returns could be huge. And I think that's something that a lot of people at the moment are really looking into, because it's no brainer. You know, you've already got a very successful company that turns over billions of pounds of dollars a year. You are basically tapping into that industry, into that company, to share the profits and create your own network and your own business from the back of that. I've managed to, you know, have a sustainable business. And the time freedom, I think that's also something that I love about this business, the fact that I could walk away for a month and I'll still make money. I could walk away for a year and I can still make money, because I've built that foundation of customers, of distributions, of and it's in 54 countries. So right now, I'm in London, but I've got so many businesses. I've got business in Australia, South Africa, Canada, USA, Mexico. So it's limitless. And I think that's something everybody should look into. Make sure, I would say, make sure that what their company is doing, it's matching your beliefs and your what inspires you. For me, skincare has always been a love and something that I've always loved doing. It would be wrong for me to do something to do with weight management, for example, because I'm awful at that. And, you know, or something. So always find something that is going to be close to your heart, a home, an industry that is close to your heart. Then do your research, you know, if it's the skincare, is it anti-aging, is it weight management, is it, you know, even now they do like the bills and the housing, and there is so many companies out there traveling. And make sure that, you know, that you, whatever you're doing is your passion, and then you can build on that. You can be working full time. You can even love your job. I've got so many people, they love the career. They love the job. Yeah. They don't want to work in a pension. They want to carry on making money. So they build this alongside just to have that freedom.
Brilliant. Yeah. I think that's always at the heart of every person's success, is finding your passion and believing in what you're doing. I think that's quite key. So, Jemlyn, as always, we could talk on forever.
I know.
Our conversations are always like really engaging, and like we have so much in common as well with, you know, our journeys and so on. So, but I appreciate we have to end somewhere. So I think it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you, talking about your resilience, talking about your journey. From that meeting at the Pré-Manger at Euston Station to where you are today, and having seen that all like at first hand as well, it's quite inspiring for myself as well. So absolutely fantastic talking to you, and thank you very much again for taking the time out in your busy schedule to come and talk to us. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, look forward to the day that events come back, and hopefully we can pick up where we left off.
100%, yes. Hopefully soon. We get to find out.
Great stuff. Okay, all the best to you.
Likewise.
And I give my regards to Sanjay. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon at one of our Churchill booths.
The same, likewise. And yeah, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, see you soon.
See you soon, Jemlyn. Bye-bye.